Every day when you wake up and look in the mirror, tell this to yourself. No matter how many haters you got, no matter how many devils in disguise, they cannot stop you.
With a mind of his own, cherry red chariot, excess is just my character. All black tux, nigga shoes lavender. I never needed acceptance from all you outsiders. Had ciphers with Yeezy before his mouth wired, before his jaw shattered, climbing up the Lord's ladder. We still speeding, running signs like they don't matter. Hater talking never made me mad. Never that, not when I'm in my favorite paper tag. Therefore, G4's at the Clearport. When it come to tools, fool, I'm a pep boy. When it came to dope, I was quick to export. Never tired of ballin', so it's on to the next sport.
What up, what up, what up, though? What's good? What's crackin'? What's poppin'? What's going on, everybody out there, man? Thanks for tuning in to the first episode of season 2 of the Doc Hicks Podcast, a.k.a. the No Offense Podcast. If this your first time tuning in, it's the Doc Hicks Podcast, aka the No Offense Podcast, because there's no offense to whatever our thought process, our perspective, or opinion is on whatever topics that we discuss in it. It's all for dialogue, to create dialogue. But we've been away for a minute. This your host, you now tuned in to Doc Hicks, D-O-C, D-O, whatever you want to call me, if you know me in personal life, or if it's just through the internet. But we've been away for a minute. You know, COVID didn't hit the streets. It's been going on for a long period of time. And you know, when COVID hit and the world break down, it's time to get down to business, get on your grind. You got to get things in order, you feel me? And unfortunately, I had to pump the brakes on YouTube and the podcast and all that, because I had other business to attend to. The foundation for other things that keep the bills and everything paid got to be attended to first. Plus, it was just a lot of other things that I was seeing going on in the game that I wanted to fall back from and take a break. I had to decompress. Sometimes you need that. You just can't stay on the internet all the time and just constantly allow the images and negativity and everything just to be pushed into your brain, because it will take you to another space. They say idle time is the devil's workshop. It's real. That's a very real statement. And that's just like anybody that needs to work out, go to the gym and work on things. The strongest muscle in your body is supposed to be your brain. So you gotta feed it sometimes positivity, if not all the time, of course. The world is what the world is, and we're going to be running across a lot of different things that we just got to handle as men and women out here. But you got to feed your brain some fruit sometimes. And sometimes the best fruit is just to take a break and back up before you become of the internet. You feel me? But before we get into this whole episode, you know who I got on here with me?
What up? It's Coop Farilla. That's J. Coop Farilla on Twitter.
Word, man. You know, like I was saying, with the whole COVID thing and everything going on in the world, United States or whatever state you in purposely are making you have to sit down. Hopefully you took this time to get some things in order and see what's going on in your life. And while having this break, I got more of an opportunity to see, like, what are some of the things that really just fuck with me? You know, some of the things that irritate me, what are like my pet peeves, you know what I mean? But before I get into it, let me ask you this, like, what's your pet peeves? What are some of the things that get to you as a man?
With me, it's just being straight up. you know, a lot of people like to waste time and play mind games. And with me, it's like, you let me know what's going on, and I'm gonna just give you my non-biased opinion, and I'm gonna give you the same respect that you give me. And that's the second pet peeve, you know what I mean? You show me the same respect, you know, and that ties into the mind games. People just try to push your buttons just to see what you'll tolerate. And then from then on, they keep doing it. It's like a toddler mentality sometimes. But just be straight up and show me the respect that you want.
Word. Like, I was thinking the other day, which, you know, and that's a part of, like, damn near, I'm not gonna say my top pet peeves, but it's damn near, because they one in the same, which, you know, mind games and manipulation and all that shit, you know, that's been going on for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. But I think, like, definitely nowadays with social media, because people can hide behind their profile, their profile picture, their computer, and, you know, motherfuckers can create a whole false life that's not really them. And I think people get so used to being able to do that, like, that shit starts to transfer into real life. Like, say for instance, the person that only posts, because, you know, I don't post anything particularly, like, from my personal life on social media, you know what I mean? That's my personal life, it's my personal life. I and Doc Hicks TV and the podcast and all that stuff, like, that's what social media. Now, I may chop it up with people here and there, or I post stuff that's a reflective of me. But say, for instance, if I had a personal account and you got that person that only posts the good stuff, or whatever the case, they can create that narrative about their life through what they put on their timeline. But then the people in real life know who that person is. But see, now it's getting to the point where it's like, they're still trying to play that real game in real life with people that really know them. So it causes them to start playing the mind games, the bullshit, or, like, I'm going to keep it real. And this, I'm petty. This super, it's petty. It's small stuff. But, like, I pay attention to people. Like, other than people that I, like, personally know, I don't talk that much. Like, I'm very observative, especially if I'm just getting to know a person, or if they have proved to me that it's not really worth me opening up to them, because it's either they're going to take what you say and run off and say it to somebody else, or you racing your breath talking to them. It's multiple different things, the reason why I may not be as talkative to certain people. But some petty stuff, like, I'm a quote-unquote sneakerhead, been like that all my life. People can ask anybody that know me since a kid growing up, even before I could buy shoes my damn self. You know, my parents, my pops, they always kept me fly, you know what I'm saying, as far as kicks and clothes and shit. So, and I just, that's just how my family is. So growing up, when I got to the point of start making my own money, I've always been into buying shoes, keeping shoes, fresh shoes, you know what I mean? So it's like not no big deal to me as in an adult age. Like, that's not something special. That's just something that you do. Like, anybody could have any habit. It could be, someone could just be a gamer and that's what they do. And you know how, like, now you got other people that start being in competition with you. So it's just one cat I know. Like, when people pay attention to you too close, it can cause them to envy you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, especially if why they're around, their intentions is not good from the get-go. So I just started noticing after a while where the guy would end up after a while, like, oh, damn, them some fresh shoes, whatever the case may be. I'm like, okay. So then I just started noticing, like, every time he would buy a new pair of shoes, he would go out his way to tell me. And I wasn't paying attention to it at first because it's something stupid as hell. Then I seen it start getting to a point where, like, now he's trying to be in a competition with me about shoes. I'm like, bro, I'm thinking myself, like, I'm almost 40 years old. Like, this not what it is. And I say this to say, like, it's the same thing, like, for people that be out, do whatever they do, it's the same thing, like, you meet a person and they say, I'm saying, like, on some street shit, how you, sometimes you be out in the game and people be like, oh, man, I got whatever, I can get whatever, this and that, blah, 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 and then when you hit them up, they never got what you got. So they started playing a whole bunch of games. They stopped picking up their phone. They stopped answering or giving you a whole bunch of excuses. So I started noticing with this dude over that, like, he started playing a whole bunch of bullshit games. It's like, literally, I just gave this dude a radio because he had got, like, a little work truck and it had no radio. So I'm like, here, I got this old radio in my trunk of my car. Like, you want to use it, use it. I'm like, if it work out, just let me know and you just throw me whatever for it. He's like, okay, cool. But I say all that to say, I started noticing since he tried to turn it into a competition about shoes. In my mind, I'm like, this dude, now when he don't, haven't bought no new shoes, it's like he'll just disappear. He'll just stop coming around. Like, bro, you don't have to be fresh to come around me just because I keep myself up. I'm not in a competition with you. Like, that's one. I ain't gonna say that's gay, that you feel like you gotta get all this and that. Like, if that's just how you are, just be yourself. And I wrap that all the way back around to saying that social media have just made people feel like they have to be something that they not. Like, I don't mind. I'm not the type of person, like, I'm gonna be dirty as hell and go to the gas station. I have a sense of standards about myself, but I'm not about to just do certain things just to impress other people. I'm gonna be myself regardless. And I just noticed that this social media, people can be so fake on social media because it's really no way of fact checking it, that people transfer that shit like over to real life. I hate when people play you like you stupid. You know what I'm saying? That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know how like people could take a person's kindness for a weakness just because you're not saying something. Like if a person trying to finesse and you sitting there reading the play the whole time and lightweight inside, you just shaking your head like, you see what they doing the whole time, but just because you're not going to either argue with them about it or just fully call them out on it, they really think the shit is working on you or going over your head. It's like, I hate people that play other people or try to play you like you stupid. And I just hate people that just front. It's like, just be yourself. We are to an age where social media has basically made it, put it back almost to like how shit was when in high school. You got your popular crowd.
Yep.
You got, you know what I'm saying? Then you got the popular crowd, the in girls, the popular dudes. Then you got the tough niggas. You know what I'm saying? Then you got, you know what I'm saying? You got all these, and it's all about image and ego. Image and ego. So it end up being a conflict with me because I didn't know doing this, you end up signing up for all that. You know what I'm saying? It kind of come along with it in a way. Because it's like, you're not going to be able to just be a quote unquote private entity forever, especially as your shit continues to grow, which I'm fine with that. But it's all the rest of the games that come along with it. It puts you in a position where, especially how immature people are, you're going to get to the point where you're going to get into it with someone, regardless if your intentions and intent is just to do what you do and stay in your own lane. The immaturity of a lot of individuals in media or just the industry, period, is like, you're going to bump heads with people just because it's horrible communication skills. It's like I said, it's all about image and ego. Two, even if you do have a problem with a person, trying to sit down and have a rational conversation with half of these people is not going to work. You know what I mean? So it kind of go off into what we were just saying about me personally taking my time and, well, really taking a break because COVID been crazy. Like you say, you on actual quarantine right now, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm on quarantine. And they keeping us here, so it's like, we gotta stay here in the room, can't move.
Like, COVID been a gift and a curse. You know what I mean? It's been a curse, of course, for the people. If you just, from the perspective of, if COVID, and I'm doing air quotes, if COVID is real and all this is not a hope, but like, we just speaking from the perspective of COVID is 100% real, and you know, people dying from it, all this, that's the curse of it. You know, people getting sick, it's spreading. I damn near feel like You know, to me, it's a biological warfare against our country. But before they end up putting us in a position to panic or be, you know, go out of control, I don't think that they would say it to us that way. But the gift of it was, a lot of people may, if they didn't die from COVID, people just running around, a lot of people may be dead or in jail if COVID just didn't slow the world down and make people really think about what's going on. Because when you sit down, you gonna, even that could be the devil's playground, you know, idle time could be the devil's playground, or you, people can use that time to get themselves straight, you know. And everybody not blessed during COVID to have a job. You know, we hear about the statistics and the numbers and everything that's been going on with, you know, throughout the, all the politics of people losing their jobs and people getting laid off. It really make you, for people in that type of situation, it really make you remap out your plan towards life. Like, what if this happens again? Or what if something happens even worse? What am I going to do to make sure I'm not in a position where I'm going to lose my house and everything that I worked hard for? You know what I mean? Like, people got to start looking for other alternative ways, which I don't knock at all anybody that works a 9-to-5. Like, to me, it's honorable. It's, you know what I mean? It's honorable. I've never been one of them type of people that, and I hate that shit with rappers and how people try to knock motherfuckers that work jobs or this and that. Like, a motherfucker, grown ass man, a grown ass woman getting off their ass, going to do what they got to do to take care of their bills. As long as they not breaking up in your house, stealing from you, finessing you and all that shit, negative shit to get their money. That's honorable stuff. But I think at the same time, especially because our school systems didn't teach people really to be entrepreneurs or independent, that had to be something that someone either close to them, you know, either their parents, someone close to them, or someone in their environment that they seen or kicked them that game, and they applied those trades or tricks to something to try to build something on their own. Because who knows? Like, do you think the world, especially from your perspective, I know we don't talk about your personal life, but from your perspective of what you do for a living, do you think the world is going to 100% go back to where it was?
I don't think so. And the reason why is because, as you said, it gave us time to reflect. It gave us time to reflect on ourselves. And then it also, which gives us more time to learn the lessons of what's going on and how this is affecting everybody. It's affecting everybody's health, and it's affecting everybody's wealth. So we have to take this time to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to protect ourselves and build the knowledge. So when we, if it does go back to normal, what people consider normal, then you can move on and learn from this. Assess your situation now, and then when it's time, when you're able to walk around without a mask, then it's time to execute your plan so you have something to fall back on. Because now it's crazy. I don't think it's gonna ever go back to the same thing. You know, it's so many things that have happened that changed, you know, the world, you know, the economy, our mental state, you know, all of that. So we just got to be able to build with one another and make sure that we can come from this better than what we were before we went into it.
Word. Because you seen, like, soon as the COVID shit kicked off, COVID stuff going on, and this is something that I said in front of during one of the videos that I put up with FBG Duck, unfortunately, you know, got killed. I'm like, you know, with COVID going on, politics going on, all the social injustice shit going on, you would think during these times that it would bring people closer together. But just in reality, when people are in desperate situations, that's when people do more desperate acts, which is, I'm not going to say it's understandable, but people have to understand that and prepare for this, because no one expected for this shit to happen. Like, no one. And I know that conversation been going on for a while, But on this platform, you know, we kicking back off season two and really just haven't been kicking it directly with the people that support us about our thoughts on this. But I'm like you say, people got to sit back and map out something. Everybody, not everybody, but a large part of people, you know how they say that the cliche or the statement, you know, plan for the future. So people, yes, will work hard as hell today, work hard as hell tomorrow, work hard as hell the next day, work hard as hell the next day after that. But that don't necessarily mean that they're working hard for the future. When you working hard for the future, you really got to be doing things that's going to impact you. Because someone could be going to work every day, 13, you know, going to work every day, working 14, 15 hours a day. And then if that don't work out, their future still fucked up. A person could have their own business and get up and open up that business every day and do everything that they supposed to do. But if something happens to that business, their future still fucked up. Like directly planning for, meaning, okay, I'm gonna open up this banking account. I don't care if I'm even putting $20 in here every so often towards the future. Or I'm gonna utilize, okay, it's 24 hours in a day. Break it down. It's 24 hours in a day. This is normally how long I sleep. This is normally how long I'm either at work or working. You got an hour out the day. Like, okay, I'm gonna take 30 minutes out the day to learn about taxes, or I'm gonna learn about stocks. I'm gonna learn about something else that could possibly be in. That 30 minutes don't seem like a lot every day, but when you add that shit up over time, you would get a lot done. Like I was talking to my homeboy Boog the other day, and he was like, man, I forgot exactly what we were talking about, but he was like, see, he just kept reminding me. He like, see, bro, he was like, he kept catching me saying things like, bro, I see, he was like, see, you think about down the line, you think about the future. So every plan and everything that you doing is about that. It's not about just today or next week. That's why it's hard for a lot of people to even get into broadcasting or media or whatever the case may be, because they expect to get instant results. If you're not already a superstar, if you're not already a millionaire and gonna put hundreds of thousands of dollars into marketing and all that, it's not gonna happen for you overnight. You have to build from the ground up. And a lot of people do not have that discipline to sit there when days when no money coming in, still sit down and work on a goal that eventually pay off for them later on down the line. They like, man, if it ain't putting no food on my plate tonight, I'm not doing it. Which they may be indirectly throwing a whole $1 million away by having that attitude.
Yeah, man. And you gotta, like you said, you gotta be forward thinking, and you gotta have contingencies, and you gotta be disciplined. You know, if you really believe in something, you gotta get that shit. You gotta put forth the effort. You know, you gotta do your research and do that trial and error. You're not necessarily failing, you learn it. You know what I mean? And you utilize that and move on to the next. You know, and now people have the time to think about that. And you don't want, like you said, this could go back to where it was in between February and June. Mm-hmm. And it's survival of the fittest. Then what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? You gotta have contingencies. You gotta think forward. What if the power go out right now? You got a flashlight? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If the cell phones go, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, you gotta have that survivor mentality. You gotta have contingency plans, and you gotta execute that. Stay disciplined.
That's a fact, for real. Now, everything that I do in life and everything I say in life is for a reason. And me and my girl, we joke about this all the time, because I say it often, like, see, I say everything I say it for a reason. It may not make sense right now. I'm not saying it in the form or fashion of like someone's a child, but sometimes people don't peep it until the world bring it back around. I'm like, hey, that's why I said this. Now, when I say I do certain things or say certain things for a reason, because sometimes I purposely ask certain people to do things just to kind of test to see where their brain is at, where their mind is at. Because you have to kind of train your brain to be a forward thinker. It's not easy. It depends on a lot what people's environment, or not necessarily their environment, but just how their brain is programmed. Some people just can't see past today. They're just trying to make it to tomorrow. So, like, for me, with COVID hitting, and this is part of the reason why I got it in the gym and started working on my health, definitely for my health. But while COVID was hitting, I never was watching that whole thing called The Walking Dead, you know, that whole series on Netflix. And I tried to put a couple people up on it. Now, in their brain, they probably looking at it, oh, you know, it's probably just for entertainment purposes. But I think during COVID, especially during that time, like you say, around the month, February, January, February, March, April, May, around that time when shit was really crazy, you couldn't find toilet paper, no nothing anywhere. And if you start watching that shit called The Walking Dead, it would make you really think, like, damn, if the world was to go all the way to this point, because we don't know what could happen one day if one of these countries let off a nuke, or like I said, even with this COVID, I feel like it's biological warfare. If they really do something in the world, even went halfway to where this show is at, because a lot of these shows and TV shows they be putting out, I feel like it's programming to desensitize people from understanding what could really happen. We think it's so far-fetched, but it really can go here. It would make you start like, man, if the world went halfway to The Walking Dead, if you were in a situation where you had to run two blocks, could you? If you had to eat, find a way to survive for a whole month with no grocery stores, could you? If it was no food, no nothing like that, and people were out here killing and scraping up just to survive, could you survive? Do you have weapons? Do you know how to use your weapons? Do you know how to break them down? Do you know how to clean them? If, okay, say when you run out of bullets, you don't have no gun, do you know how to get out here and find how to put something together that would be a weapon or something to protect your family? You know what I mean? It's like, we can go on and on about things of just survival. And that show shows you that. And depending on how your brain absorb things, especially during COVID, I'm like, man, let me go ahead and start getting in the gym, physically working on myself, because if the world went halfway here, I got to be able to protect my family. I got to start learning and applying other knowledge to my mental toolbox to be able to survive, other than the same old information that's just getting repeated over and over again that I've been getting for years.
That's how I feel about it.
For real, you know, and I don't know. I guess since I've been out on my own since basically what was that, January of 2000, I've been out on my own, except I'll say maybe one, it wasn't even a whole full year, basically the full, you know. And this is one thing I want to say, this season I'm gonna make sure to be more transparent, because a lot of people be wanting to get to know more about myself, and normally, you know, be things about the headlines, and we talk about things in general. So I'm gonna make sure that I'm more transparent about myself and experience, and, you know, life lessons and things that I've been through. So besides in 2009, basically in this whole 20 years from January 2000 to this day, I've been out on my own, except for during the year of 2009, where I was making a transition. And keep me, after I say all this, because I got a horrible memory, remind me why I'm saying all this, because we were just talking about making a plan and contingencies and all that stuff. But end up moving back home with my mom, because a lot of shit was going on, and it was getting to the point mentally where I wanted to stop drinking. A lot of stuff was going on, and you listening to your gut and listening to your higher power, regardless if you believe in the universe or you believe in God or whatever the case may be. And I just remember prior to moving back home, and what was crazy, the crazy thing about it, I really didn't have a reason to move back home. I just remember I ended up getting a call on the phone, and my mother ended up saying that she was sick. Normally during that time, I would just maybe call or text her a little bit more just to make sure that she was okay. But something about that situation, unbeknownst to me during that time, was like, man, you need to go home and check on your mom. So I'm like, okay, I go home and check on my mom. Shortly after I go home and check on my mom, my basically my best friend that I was hustling with end up getting basically set up and killed. You know what I mean? Got shot in the head a couple of times. Basically got set up. So that right there, because me and him basically was rocking every day, every other day together at some point in time, you know what I mean? Because it was direct business between me and him. And so it could have been, it was a 95% chance, even though it wasn't meant for me due to the circumstances that he was going through with me. And I'm not going to go into detail why it happened, but it, you know, as time go on, you keep your ear to the streets, you find out why things happen. But just being there with them, that could have easily, it wouldn't have stopped whoever did it from going ahead and knocking me down too, because if we was together. So that was the beginning. And that's not the first time in my life being close to death or knowing someone that got killed or passed away. But for some reason in that situation, it made me, it planted a seed inside of me of wanting to start changing, you know. So me going back home during that time, that was the only time. And I said all that to say, I guess me having that distance, because when I say being out on my own, I'm not saying like being out on my own and being 5 or 10, 20, 30 minutes away from the house that you grew up in. I'm talking about like literally not being around family, period, where you don't have no safety net. You don't have no safety bubble where if you fall off your feet, it's someone there to save you or at least give you a cushion. It's basically either you gonna make it or your ass gonna be up under a bridge somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So when you face with that, knowing, okay, if I don't make sure that I keep this light, these lights on and this roof over my head, I'm gonna be out on the streets. It ain't gonna be I can go run to this person's house or run to that person's house, go around the corner, or I got, it's none of that. You got a plan for the future and make sure you making either a visual or a physical vision board of, hey, this is the goal, and make that goal big, but break that goal down, that break that one goal down into 100 small goals that you can obtain. So as you knocking them out, then eventually you're going to get to that big goal, and then things will start moving like a well-oiled machine. That's why I wanted to wrap all that around, because they always tell people to dream big, and that's true. But sometimes when people dreaming big, they don't fully think about everything from A to Z. Like, okay, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to be a billionaire. Like, yes, those good things to put at the top of your vision board, but you're not just gonna hop skip from point A to point Z. It's a million things in between A and Z that you're gonna have to complete. And what makes it easier to give yourself either a small goal every day to knock out that eventually get you to it, or a small goal once a week or twice a week. Don't make it too hectic, because you make things too hectic, that's when people tend to start giving up or getting stressed out. Because not only while you trying to complete your goals, you still got real life shit going on that you still got to deal with. You know, especially if you already working a job and, you know, working a job or got some other type of hustle or grind going on or dealing with other people. Because let me ask you, do you find it easier when you trying to handle business, doing it, and when I say by yourself, I'm not meaning 100% but by yourself, like just with you and your team? Or do you have to shut like the rest of the world off to get things done? Or are you the type of person that can still deal with everything else and still get shit completed?
So normally it depends on what it is, you know, the situation at hand. However, regardless, I do a self-assessment, you know, to check my knowledge base. If I'm able to contribute more, then yes, I would do it by myself. But if I'm working with a team, it's important to know who you're dealing with and what they're good at, and put their their abilities to the test. You know, most of the time, yeah, you want to do something by yourself in order to get it done. If you have the tools and resources, meaning other people that have tools and resources, then that'll help you, you know. But you have to know what's going on. Whatever goals that you have to do that research. A lot of people, like you said, see everything on social media, have that microwave mentality, see a person with all the jewels on and all the cars and all of that. But you wasn't there when they had to sign the paperwork. If they had to sign the paperwork, you wasn't there when they went to the store. You know what I'm saying? It's a process. So you got to respect that process and know that it's going to be a process and not have that microwave mentality.
Yeah, like
this situation.
That's real. Like, if people expect things to happen, you know, and it's like we preach that so much, and I know that's just not some lost word or a lost sentence or cliche phrase that's lost in the world where you just still see it. And I don't know, because I know some people, even myself, like I sit down and come up with ideas, you know, I see everything. I know how to switch it on and off, because that can also be something that's not a good thing as well. But I see things through a business lens. But I personally know how to turn it on and off. And I'll get into that at a later date, or if it come back up, about if you see everything through a business lens, you can end up tarnishing or tearing up a lot of genuine relationships, because it can come off as you just trying to get over or finesse or just milk people if you deal with everybody just on the basis of just if it's business, it's this and that. Like, you don't deal with, you can whatever, but but that's, you know, but shit don't happen overnight. And a part of the reason why I ask that is because, like, I'm the type, me, of similar, like, I'm going to start something, I'm going to build it, I'm going to do the research as much as possible. Then eventually you're going to get to that point of that you're going to reach a ceiling where, yes, you may end up having to include other people, and you want to get the proper people in position to be able to continue to succeed and move forward. But just like this, I'll just say, just like with Dotkicks TV on YouTube, when I first started that YouTube channel, besides maybe two or three people, I purposely did not tell no one that I personally knew that I was going to start that channel, even though I knew it's not about to blow overnight. This may take 2-3 years before it catch traction. You know, I'm just like, okay, you know, but if you catch a good window, you catch a good video, and you just keep being consistent and you keep sticking to your perspective and how you do things, you can carve out your own lane, because it's enough room for everybody. You know, it's enough room for everybody. You can carve out your own lane and do what you do. But I purposely didn't tell people that I was doing this, because 99% of your hate come from people that you personally know.
Hell, like, yeah.
I can only imagine if a nigga was in the NBA or a tech billionaire or whatever the case may be. But I say that I give those two examples of just being rich, because people wouldn't imagine the shit that I go through just having 122K subscribers and 37 million views from people that I personally know. Because people assume from the opposite side of their phones that they know what's going on in my life. Motherfuckers don't know if I got $1 in my banking account or if it's $200,000 in my banking account. People don't know that. People assume because they just looking from the outside. It's like motherfuckers will tear some shit down before it even get to where it needs to be, because they're assuming that it's something that is just doing whatever. It's like, and that's why I'm the type of person, I prefer to box myself off from people, because majority of your hate come from people that you personally know. And I don't know why it's like that. It's like, it's one of those things of motherfuckers don't mind seeing you doing good, but they don't want to see you doing better than them. Like, they will purposely, you know what I'm saying? Like, they will purposely withhold information from you that can help you. And not just YouTube. It could be anything. You could be a consultant, you know, accountant. It don't matter. But you got someone that's around you that got a piece of information that can help you succeed or keep moving forward or whatever the case may be. They purposely won't give it to you unless they like, oh, which is crazy. It, you know, and now my thing is, now if you just know, excuse me, you just know a person ain't shit. Like, okay, yeah, this piece of information I'm about to give them directly about to turn them into a millionaire, but they not gonna kick me back shit or even can. Like, okay, I could see if you just think that person ain't shit. But most of the time it just be small stuff about just pointing the person in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes this whole thing about media, or media just, or podcasts and all this shit, it just makes it where you, sometimes I have to decompress and leave on this shit for a minute, because I never want to go. I can't say out of character, because it's a part of me that will snap and blow up. And I know it takes me a while to get on. It can happen. It can happen quick. But with this shit, when you start seeing little bitty things that's going on, it can make you like, nah, that's not what you're really here for. You're not here for the arguing, the back and forth, because then it starts coming off like clout chasing, or you have people that's purposely clout chasing and doing things and trying to antagonize you to get into it with them for those reasons. So like, sometimes you have to back away from this shit and just decompress, because it can end up being too much. Because it used to be a time I was like, man, damn, maybe the channel not growing, maybe because I'm secluding myself too much. You know, we coming from Michigan, coming from Detroit, you know, you don't speak to strangers. You don't fuck with or talk to people that you don't know. You do what you do. You know what I'm saying? So that's the mindset that I came in with. I'm like, I don't know nobody personally that's doing this. I feel like people got their perspective. A lot of things that people are saying, I understand, but it don't directly resonate with me, or they not looking at it from this aspect. Maybe I can add this to these, this and that. Then I'm like, okay, maybe I'm secluding myself. Maybe that may be blocking blessings. You know what I'm saying? That may be blocking blessings from not getting opportunities. So then you try to reach out and be cool with people. Then it comes with a whole bunch of, but you know what I end up noticing? That, who just said it? I think it was Nori on the Drink Champs. He was like, who was he talking to? Who did he just have on there? Wallow and, you know, $1 million worth of game. And somewhere Gillian Wallow. And somewhere up in their discussion, he ended up saying, yeah, it is like a mafia in the, you know, little mafia in the entertainment world, in the media world, which is very true. To the normal consumer, they may not see it, but there are, just like when Mike Epps went on the Breakfast Club and was talking about gatekeepers and all this, like, it's very true. And I didn't know this until not just my first experience of trying to, you know, be cordial or at least show love to other creators or whatever the case may be. You start noticing like, okay, if you publicly associate yourself with this other individual, that it may be 30 people that hate him. So now that you didn't publicly show that you fuck with them, or you may not even just fuck with them like that, because y'all don't personally know each other. You may just be showing them love, but them 30 people that hate him or her, now they hate you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nah, but they don't know you. They don't know you from a can of paint. They all, just because somehow, some way, you show that you, they take it like y'all best friends just because you may have showed love to this person or whatever.
Yeah.
when we talking about manipulation and playing mind games or hate or bullshit of that nature. So when we sit back and think of or look at currently what's going on right now, not to say that Joe Budden or See the God is purposely beefing, because, you know, the question has arise the other day was, is, do you really think in all these situations, someone asked me, like, do you really think in all these situations that all publicity is good publicity, that they may be teaming up with each other and, you know, basically having a meeting like, yeah, we're going to do this and that to keep ourselves relevant. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that shit happens all the time in the industry. But when certain things start getting said, it's beyond all publicity is good publicity. Yeah. When you start playing around with, oh, this person is a woman beater, that's beyond all publicity is good publicity. You know what I'm saying? When you start talking about, and what's crazy, they care more about pets than black men lives. So if you get to talking about pets and shit, that's beyond all publicity is good publicity. And it's, I just don't understand why within our community, it's like, we already know these be the same people that use their platforms to talk about black love, black empowerment, this and that. Most of the times be the same people that be behind the scenes blocking other people of their own kind that they never had an issue with, never had a problem with, from coming up. And now keep all that in mind. You see all this shit going on behind the scenes. Like, you see all of it going on behind the scenes. So it purposely made me back up. Not just recently, but like starting last year, it started making me back up from a lot of stuff. Which, yeah, when you back up from people, then some people start getting offended. You know, but I'm like, see, I tried to just start trying to be cordial. And it's not, I'm not even saying like it's Gully fault, you know, because I don't know what Gully had going on for real with Doggy Diamonds. You know, that's not, me and him never had, I think me and Gully talked on the phone one time. That wasn't a topic of discussion, you know, of anything of that nature. I believe one time I reached out to the other dude on Twitter, besides saying, you know, just a happy birthday shout out or something of that nature. Besides that, I think I DM'd him. And I'm not on Twitter often, and I don't have my notifications on all my social medias. I don't see that people like stuff or leave a comment until I come back on and log in. I don't want 99 social media apps blowing up my phone because I got my notifications on all of it. I see it when I log back in. I may log in every 2 minutes. I may log in every 2 hours. I may log in every 2 days. Who knows? I know I hit Doggy up about something because it was during the time I was trying to ask people questions. Like, it was a few questions I wanted to know about this quote unquote game. And coming up and doing this, most people ain't going to give you no game. That's going back to when we were saying people hiding information from you. Not talking about these gentlemen or them, you know, specifically, just in general, period. People hide information from you.
Mm-hmm. So it's an age old strategy.
Yeah, period. You know, you can ask people for some game or some help. They purposely won't give it to you. I don't know if it's because they view you as competition or whatever the case may be. I was raised from the mentality and the environment that good dope sell itself. I don't care if it's 99 niggas standing on this block and they all got work. If I got the best work or some good work, my shit's still gonna sell. So I ain't gotta sit up here and worry about y'all niggas. The only ones I gotta worry about is you know, the snakes and the niggas that's gonna try to rob you and this and that. But besides that, if it's fair game where we just all got doing what we doing, good work gonna sell itself. You can keep your blinders on and just keep moving forward. You don't have to worry about or, you know, but some people move by the 48 laws of power. You know what I'm saying? You got different people out here like that as well that move off of creating beef or competition purposely for relevancy and, I guess, to fight, give them their fuel you know what I'm saying, to keep wanting to go harder, which I understand. Sometimes you can have healthy competition. I understand that. But I don't be seeing in this media world or in this game, hip hop game, that it be healthy competition. We see all these niggas out here, fuck your dead cousin, fuck this, you know what I mean, suck my dick. Oh, that's, none of that shit is healthy competition. That shit will get someone really knocked down and hurt, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, before I start allowing people to pull me back into a mindset, because I see people doing little bitty shit, which I don't even think they be knowing any better. I think that they didn't got caught up into the social media world that it's the norm to do certain things, that they, I don't think they really see any wrong in their actions from a man's perspective, especially if they say they from the streets or been in the streets, to understand that. I'm like, before you allow someone to pull you mentally down into a crab in a barrel mentality, I'm just going to fall back for a minute.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah, a lot of people think that they can just say whatever they want to and have no repercussion. Where we from, you got to stand on what you say. And speaking on what the Seat of God and Joe Budden thing, he felt, Seat of God felt as though that he could just say what he wanted to say and have no repercussions. Like, you got to stand on that. Your word is your bond. You can't just say anything about somebody, especially if it's behind closed doors. You know, if you can't handle it man to man or person to person, ain't no reason to put that out there to get the crowd on your side, because you choose the sides, and then all they gonna do is turn around just to see what the other person has to say.
Exactly.
And it seems as though that people are smart, but they don't have the common sense and the mind frame to say, look, I'm out here doing my thing. If I can contribute to what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? You're going to carry on that trait to give somebody else. Don't withhold information. You pass that on. That's what we're supposed to do. That's in our DNA. We're supposed to learn and we're supposed to teach. And at your level, if somebody could give you game to take you to the next level, they contributed to what you're building. You know what I'm saying? You are obligated to pass that information on. You know, that's reciprocity. You know what I'm saying? You give me something, I give you something. And then the OG that give you that game, it's like, don't even worry about it, man. You keep moving. Just make sure you pass that on to somebody else. You help other people.
And then listen, they pass to everything you just said. You just spoke about having OGs preaching that game to you, passing it down. You know, that this is what, you know, basically you just preaching the game that most solid individuals get. And that's, and it ties back to the beginning of this conversation, talking about social media allowing people to wear a mask that's really not them. And I'm not here to be divisive, because I see a lot of that also go on. You know, like you just referencing the Joe Budden and Seat of God. If people really pay attention, not just them, but just period, to a lot of, it'd be a lot of unnecessary comments and a lot of unnecessary things that be said that be like subliminal seeds that people be planting in people's heads to be divisive, to try to get people to stop supporting others or to stop watching others. Like, bro, unless you're really putting content on the internet that's going to take up a person's whole 24 hours out of a day, people are not only just going to watch you. Some people be wanting to just, it's one, it's all entertainment. It's all entertainment to the average person that's, because I'm still a viewer and a consumer. So it's all entertainment. I may watch 6 different videos on the same topic from 6 different people because I just wanted to see where people's minds are at in it. And that's just how it is. People don't just go to one channel and be like, okay, now that's it. I'm logging off. I'm not watching nothing else. That's not how the game works. So, you know, so I'm like, I don't be understanding. I understand where it derives from. And it's like too much of the, I see too many traits. Because I don't like to say, I hate to just say when you let quote unquote street niggas get into a certain type of field, this is the type of shit that come with it. Because I hate to just categorize people, because all street niggas is not the same, you know. Mm-hmm. That just not, you know, all street niggas is not the same. And this rap world and all this stuff has gotten starting to make people believe that, you know, street, you gotta look a certain way, you gotta have a certain hairstyle, you gotta walk a certain way, you gotta have a certain lingo, or you this and that to be, you know, like every street nigga not the same. Every street nigga that's not out here super loud, running off at the top of their lungs, you know, yelling at the top of their lungs or being disrespectful. You got some street niggas that's out here that's calm, cool, collective, and it will bust your motherfucking head wide the fuck open and go home and sit down with their family and eat and tuck their kids in at night. You know what I'm saying? The people get the shit confused by these personas, and that's what I started noticing just as more and more time, not media, just period in the game, that it's all about image and ego. And the last thing I feel like for anybody that's coming up in the industry, regardless if it's from an artist standpoint or if it's from a media standpoint or whatever, you could be the water boy standpoint, whatever position, because it's a million jobs within the industry besides just the manager and the artist. You know what I'm saying? So it's technical engineers, it's all types. Don't get caught up in the image and ego war that's going on, because that's what end up destroying everything. It end up destroying everything when men ego get involved with stuff. Not to say that a man don't supposed to, but it's the time and place for everything. Don't allow that testosterone to block your blessings or put you in a position to physically get hurt or to sit up and try to destroy someone else's life. Like, I don't get no joy in thinking that, if I do this, this maybe could tear this person down and stop all their money, and then maybe they can't feed their kids, and maybe their kids may be hungry, maybe they lose where they stay at. You know what I'm saying? Like, who gets enjoyment out of, because even if they don't think that deep into the actions that they're doing, their actions reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
If you make a deliberate move to try to sabotage or tear someone down, your actions prove that.
Yep, and you don't know what another person is capable of doing. The capability is anything. You block my blessing, and I know you did it. You don't know if I'm going to just come at you. I fade into black. Next thing you know, I'm coming from the dark for your head. You know what I'm saying? People go survival mode. You don't know what they're going to do when you battle against the wall.
It could be 2 days later. It could be 10 years later. Like, it's literally people in the city. It's literally people that's still dying over high school beefs, and the motherfuckers graduated 30 years ago. Because they ain't forgot about some bullshit a motherfucker did 30 years in high school, and they never forgot it. And they just found an open opportunity to go ahead and get their get back on their ass. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody, because what has became the norm now in the game is, I'm going to be as disrespectful as possible. I'm going to talk all the shit in the world for the quick views and a spike in the algorithm. And then what end up happening? Oh, it was, what do they always say at the end of everything? And I end up getting caught up at one time, but what do they say at the end of every day?
It's all war. Entertainment, man. War. It's a business.
Huh?
This is what we doing. It's all entertainment, man. We just trying to entertain the people, man. It's just business, man.
And they end up saying, oh, man, no, it was one big misunderstanding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the fucking excuse of the decade. A nigga tell you to suck his dick a million fucking times. I'ma shoot your mama. I'ma slap your kid in the damn. I'ma slap her out of diaper. I'ma kick your little boy off his bike. Or say anything to you. And then only thing that's going to be said at the end is, oh yeah, man, you know, we squashed that beef. It was one big misunderstanding. What was the fucking misunderstanding at?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't no misunderstanding. No, you motherfuckers just be saying this crazy shit and they just don't be willing to stand on it. And I don't even, you know, you probably don't, no one see me often talk about the dude 6ix9ine. But that's the only reason why I'm against what, not him as him, but what he represents. He represents no accountability for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that I don't, that's what I don't like, because I never tried to listen to his music or any of that. I knew the dude wasn't gangster from the beginning. That was obvious to anybody that could fucking see. But what he represents is not being, it's cool to not be accountable for your actions. That when he sit up and have these media runs and all this shit, he never answers any, he never answers no questions directly. You ask this motherfucker a straight up yes and no answer, he's not going to answer directly. It's going to, he going to bring up 30 other artists. It's going to be deflected towards someone else. All that, that's not being accountable for your actions or being a man. And I don't like that. That's the only thing. And when that becomes the cool, and when that becomes the norm, it, that, you know, it gets perpetuated. More and more people and more times it's going to happen. And every time it's not going to hurt them, because it's going to take down 10, 15, 20 other people in their bullshit.
Mm-hmm. That's why this internet beef, this microwave mentality and this lack of accountability, he's the perfect example of you can just do it and get away with it, or do it and worry about it later and not think about the consequences. Your lack of conviction will get you all the way fucked up.
Facts. You know who people really should be putting the pressure on? I don't know if his security is from an agency or he hired each one of them individually. People can do their due diligence and find that out. But if he hired them from all one agency, they should be put, the people, because you know people love the cancel culture. You could use the power of your voice to put pressure on that agency to say, hey, this is what your company stand for. Why are you enabling this dude to antagonize and talk shit about people, and you gonna stand in front of what possibly can be, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's up with the security guards' morals and principles? Y'all put money, y'all grown men that's going, y'all gonna get that money somewhere else? Or y'all was totally unemployed before he came and hired you? Or is he just paying you that much where you forgot about your morals and principles? Like, nah, you are allowing this man to totally make a disgrace and pick shit with people that, it's like you damn near, it just like, bro, it's no, and I don't want to even stay on the topic of him too long, but it's like, bro, it seemed like you just live, you fucking with a full-fledged federal agent, like on the clock, like he's on the clock federal agent, because it's like you're purposely doing things that will get other people locked up, and you're not going to get arrested for it. They said when a part of your stipulations was you did not supposed to come home and troll. As soon as you came home, you were trolling. You did not get violated. So when I seen that, I'm like, something definitely is not right. The judge told you not to troll. As soon as you came home, you started trolling. And you didn't, niggas, bro, do you motherfuckers, real life, because not the computers. The judge told you this in real life. So I'm saying in real life, people are getting violated for less, for mistakes, all type of shit in real life, dealing with judges and all. This is a high profile case, and you just do the opposite of what the judge say in front of millions of people, and you didn't get reprimanded or nothing. That let me know something right there. Like, no, this is some agent type work.
And then the stuff he was saying, he was trying to come off as vague, but people could read through the lines, bro. You talking about your security and how all these other rappers that passed away and had security. That I was like, yo, nah, that's not even cool. Like, you shouldn't even speak on that. You don't even have, you don't have the authority or anything to speak on anybody except for yourself.
Right. He's not qualified like Benny Siegel, not necessarily just towards see the guy, but just period. He's not qualified to speak on certain shit, because those the certain artists, if we just being specific or we speaking in general, majority of the artists that have just gotten killed, that the ones that we know, he 9 times out of 10 was talking about, they wasn't antagonizing different artists and rappers and running around and doing this shit. That was real street shit. Like, he came into the game starting shit, you know, just bullshit, and people knew it wasn't real. But, and they both, you know, I hold everybody accountable for that situation. The Treyway dude, not, you know, the whole clique and him, because they looked at him as a money lick. He looked at them, oh, I finally gonna be able to be looked at as a real nigga. And it just did not work out. But everybody should be held accountable for their actions. And regardless, like, any excuse that you want to say, regardless if you just want to keep saying, oh, because he fucked my girl, he fucked my girl. Okay, yes, let's say he fucked your girl a million times. You still did not hold yourself accountable for your actions. And then in your interview, you admitted to beating her ass twice, but you ain't say shit about thinking about beating shoddy ass, fighting him, tussling with him, putting him in a noogie. You ain't do shit to this dude. No, nothing. I know you got straps that let you know that you wasn't gangster from the get-go. It was easy for your mind to calculate quickly to put your hands on that bitch. Not to say, hey, and she's at fault. She's spreading her legs to your homie. She just as much as at fault as him. You know what I'm saying? Because they both betraying you. But what did you do? You beat her ass, but you ain't do shit to him. Period. That wasn't even on your mind. To my old, because he had a gun on his lap. Well, you wait till he ain't got a gun on his lap and beat his ass. You know you couldn't do it. That one, you wasn't even thinking in that type of way. If, say, for instance, okay, so let them go to court and be held accountable for the shit that they did, if they shot at people or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you should go to court and hold yourself accountable for the things that you did. You on camera put money on people's head. You on camera were making decisions. You know what I'm saying? You should be held accountable for your actions. You can't just say this and that. You know, people was trying to tell you from the beginning, like, bro, they don't mean you no good. But you was blinded by it because this is probably the first time you really getting some pussy. You getting some attention. Money don't do nothing but magnify how people really are anyway.
And you playing that negative seed too, because you're going to have people running behind you trying to do the same thing, and they're going to get wiped up, wiped out. They're going to get wiped out.
Quick.
And that's what you're supposed to do.
Quick. You know, and it's like, not even just him, this, and the reason why, besides the games that the music industry is doing, and they say it's a young man's game. We talked about this before. It's purposely a young man's game because, you know, you catch someone at a certain age that's in a poverty situation, you know, 9 times out of 10, they is not about to read that fucking contract when they just see some diamonds blinging in front of their face, a little small stack. They're going to grab that shit. You know what I'm saying?
It's parasitic as hell.
You know, compared to possibly someone that has been around the corner a few times and been through some things, that may have enough smarts to go pay 50, 75, even 200 tops to just go get a, you know, attorney to read over this contract and break it down to you. That's why it's a young man's game. And they purposely set it up to get them, you know, type of people. So you never get the opportunity too often to see the evolution of people. We only see the beginning stages over and over and over and over again, which keeps people, even when they get older in life, they end up getting stuck in that first stage of their life, because that's the only chapter that we consistently see is just the beginning stages, and people don't get the opportunity to mature. Like, there's so many cliche statements that's within our community that needs to be erased. You know, like, I ain't gonna never change. People, when people say shit like that, like, bro, you supposed to change eventually. If you mature, you're not gonna be the same person you was last year, this year. You should not be the same person in your 30s that you was in your 20s. You shouldn't be the same person in your 20s that you was when you was 18, 19, 20. You know what I'm saying? You should definitely not be the same person you was in your 50s when you was in your 40s, and so on and so forth. But people get so caught up in what's the norm of their environment, that people, you know what I'm saying? Like, it becomes a box within a box within a box itself.
Yeah, I keep it like this. Like, you ain't going to be 40 years old crawling. So,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And you know how to walk.
Exactly.
And you know how to run. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
Having
it's age-old culture, man. It's an age-old culture. You think about it, man. Ever since slavery, man. You know, the culture, as far as the hip hop, is running the world right now. You know what I'm saying? But people that look like you and me, it's only a few of us running it. You know what I mean? It goes all the way back to slavery, man. We built this country, first of all, and now we changing the culture on how everybody see things. And we don't have that much ownership. And then when people try to be independent, it's another age-old culture where people try to break people down instead of helping people out. You know what I'm saying?
The strength in numbers and powers in numbers is a very, you know, because if we even look at other communities, I am the type of person where right is right, wrong is wrong. Being smart is smart, dumb is dumb. You know, oh, that worked. That, you know, working smart, not hard. You know, it's simple. It's simple things to my calculations towards looking at stuff. And I look at, it don't have to be one particular group of people. It could be working within our community, but just not on a large scale. But when you see other cultures, a lot of these motherfuckers that's millionaire and billionaires, they may not personally like each other, but shit, the business is right. They're going to get this motherfucking money because they're thinking about generational wealth. They're not just thinking about themselves. They're thinking about legacy. They're thinking about how I'm going to change the world while I'm in it. And then also once I'm gone, that my grandkids is going to benefit from the decisions that I made. So when people make a lot of ignorant, selfish decisions in the present, they don't know they fucking shit up for everybody. It's like, it's small things. Like, I don't be wanting to go too deep. Not saying deep as far as this, because it's a lot of ideas of things that I want to bring to the table and do as far as consistently scoping out and carving out my lane and what I do that represents more of how my mind think. But it's hard as hell. You know, I ain't gonna say it's hard. I'm just not into kissing motherfuckers' asses. I don't kiss motherfuckers' asses. I don't kiss artists' ass like you motherfuckers is human beings, just like everybody else. You know what I mean? And we not gonna get caught up in chasing motherfuckers down to get interviews. And then it's like, but talking about adopting certain things. Okay, if the book's been lost, if the information been lost, or translation has been lost, like, okay, it's time to start from scratch with a new tradition. You know, and some things may it be adopted from different cultures. If it's smart and it makes sense, and it makes sense for the future and the present, adopt some things that people are going to live by and do. Like, it's super small, and I understand everybody not birthed into a situation where they can do these things, but it's super small things that other cultures do. It could just be a woman, they got 30, she 35 years old, and she got A1 credit, or at least A credit, and she got a kid. Her kid 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. You know what she's gonna do, because she learned how money make money and how important credit is, and they talk about it within their community and with each other and stuff. What does she do? She adds her kids on to her credit card as an authorized user. She don't give them kids the card, but she adds them on as authorized users. Why? Because as she's using her card and, you know, keeping her credit score high, and now it's pulling up their credit score as their little kids. And so they wonder, oh, how did Becky or whoever, by the time she got 17, 18 years old, now her parents bought her a BMW, or she got her car so quick and how her credit score, because they was plotting on that from the beginning, because they know these little tricks of the trades of things that you can do. It's like, I don't be liking to talk to people. Not when I say this, like you as a peer, I'm talking about, like, I don't like speaking to people that's supposed to be OGs and they teaching me shit that I learned when I was in my fucking 20s. It's like, what is motherfuckers going to talk about that's going to take a nigga to the next level? But I can't fault people for not knowing the information. So it's like, I don't get upset with them for not knowing the information, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, you can't really see. It's no way to say to them without them getting offended. Like, maybe it's we all still got some learning to do. Basically, yeah. That's maybe the only way you could really say it to them. Like, we all still got some learning to do, because if they passing the same information down to you, the limited information that they got, if they passing that limited information down to you and expect for you to live and die by that limited information, we creating a deadly cycle over and over and over again. No one is eventually going to evolve and mature into what we supposed to eventually get to. It's the definition of insane, doing the same thing but expecting different results.
Yep. Hell yeah. I feel you on that.
You know,
if we ain't giving the right information, then we just gonna be stagnant.
For real, like super and stagnant. One individual being able to look in the mirror and physically see themselves stagnant, but transfer that feeling and that look to a whole community. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, it don't supposed to be 10 years later, the community in the same situation. I don't give a fuck if we one step closer or move forward that's better than 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And still being in the same position. And I'm not the type. I totally understand systematic oppression, racism, and everything. I totally understand it. But there's also more things that I need to learn as well. But I don't point my finger towards that all the time, because I know specifically there are things within ourselves that we need to fix. That's the same thing. They're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you that, like, okay, if you got one guy and he been in 10 different relationships and none of them didn't work, eventually gonna say maybe it's something wrong with you. Maybe it's something that you need to change. After the same things keep happening, sometimes you gotta look at self. And that's not to blame every situation on self, but like me personally, I knew my life did not start changing until I stopped drinking alcohol. When I stopped drinking alcohol and start having a clear mind, that's when my life started moving forward. I stopped dealing with a lot of people. I stopped being in a lot of bullshit situations that I wasn't even caring about being in because I was drunk and just didn't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? And then bad things was coming out of it. And then you could just use the excuse of, oh, wrong place, wrong time, this and that. But like, no, maybe if you was in a clear mind, you wouldn't have been there, period. Or if you was drunk and you the only people that you kicking it with is just other people that's alcoholics and that's the only thing you got in common with them, maybe that time you'll be spending with other people if that wasn't what you was doing, you know, putting yourself in different surroundings with different people. People get so comfortable where they don't want to make changes, where it's easier just to point the finger at someone else than actually make a change.
That's right.
So if I can say that on the individual level, then I'm like, I still have to apply that in a larger context as well. But just like I also said in the FBG Duck video, that our community is not monolithic. We are smart enough and we have enough people in position to have two conversations at one time. While we have people within our community, regardless if they black or people that's allies, that's of different communities, but that's down for the bigger cause. While we have people in position, you know, regardless if they went to school to be lawyers, if they went to school to be politicians, or whatever education system, we got enough people in our community that fit in those roles that if we looking at a board and we split that board in half, we got enough people that's in the education field, politics, lawyers, and whatever else, etc., that can be having the conversation. Oh, and activists and all that stuff, to be having that conversation, to be trying to change the laws, putting pressure on the judges, putting pressure on the government. We got enough people to do that. Then on the other side of that pie chart, we have enough people on the other side where now we got to start giving some responsibility to the people that motherfuckers is calling OGs. If you want to take on the fucking role of an OG, then it's a responsibility that comes with that. And then that's where the second conversation, okay, what are you going to do? Or then what information you go team up to start changing the shit that's going on. But there also needs to be a bridge in between. It needs to be direct communication in between the people that's on one side of that chart and the other side. So the people that's on the left side with the advocates and politicians, they getting direct, at least twice a month, they getting direct information from the ground of these are the issues and this is what we want to change, this is the things that we need, or whatever the case may be. They sending that information over to one side, and from the other side they sending information back over saying, hey, these are new laws that just changed, these are the job opportunity that's coming, this is money that the government just allocated for this, that, this and that. The information got to keep going back and forth for each other to help. But for some reason we always think want to have one conversation, the other one has to stop or put it on pause. And that's just not going to, that's not how it can be. We're not going to get anywhere in a faster pace doing the same thing that we've been doing, the same way we've been doing it.
That's right. And it's important to understand, if y'all don't listen to nothing else, if you from those areas, what they consider urban or the hood, if you don't know by now that it's by design, you need to hip yourself on this. You need to educate yourself and do some research. With that being said, it's important to know you control what you do. You know what I'm saying? You control what you do and you have options. And what Doc Hicks is saying is important. But it takes us to make that change. It takes us to put that action and say, look, we identify the problem and we assess our situation, the current situation that we're in, and then we come up with a plan. You know what I'm saying? But it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with Doc. It starts, you know what I'm saying? I can't tell anybody outside of myself what to do. You know what I mean? Another man, I can't tell him what to do.
Exactly.
It's on us to come together and identify, assess, and execute.
Now, let me ask, you know how you hear conversations where they say, and like I say, I take smart things from different conversations and all add them to the gumbo, to the pot. How they say, okay, what if all the sports players that's quote unquote black, they go to HBCUs, how that would transfer and shift the money and shift the economy through those schools or whatever. Okay, I'm saying little key things like that. But say, for instance, like the same economic, not going to say economic plan, but the same pie chart of having this conversation going on one side and this conversation going on the other side. What if you got, depending on the size, just like how they got electoral votes, depending on the size of the state, you have electoral votes of, maybe it would be called something else, but this, because the whole state may not be urban, or the whole state may not be a poverty area that's being redlined or oppressed. But depending on the size of the city, you have so many people elected that's supposed to be given these OGs responsibilities, have so many of them elected to be over a certain area. Now, the very first, now, say from that perspective, you got them there. We got the NBA, NFL, baseball, all these. It's at least, even it not, and it's not to put all the pressure on them, but I'm saying it's at least two people from each city or each state that made it to one of these high places. You know what I'm saying? That either have a lot of money, multi-millions, or, and it's like, okay, what's y'all responsibility to help the community? Let's just say, can y'all chip 1% of your income towards a nonprofit? A specific nonprofit, you know, from the state that you're from, that's going to help fund these electoral people that we're collect, that to get appointed throughout this process. So now we either going to buy up some land, you take buy up some land, then you either doing farming on that land, or you doing construction on that land, or these nonprofits, you know, because in order to build shit, you got to have a construction company. So that construction company, you got to have an owner. You find people that's talented with stuff. So now that's employing them, you know what I mean? And now you're building shit. It's like, it can become one big circle of things, but I know you got to have some capital from somewhere. But I'm like, if everybody is accountable and willing to have some responsibility it won't be that hard. Motherfuckers just can't be getting, making 10, 20, 100, 200, 400, 500 million off the community supporting them, and then they're not giving back shit. Period. And I'm not a pocket watcher. I'm not, because I don't want motherfuckers pocket watching me. I hate motherfuckers that pocket watch. But I'm saying, if things are going to change, there has to be some responsibility. But this is just a simple way of just saying, you got 50 states, and we ain't, you know, not to say it ain't no problems in Utah or nothing, but if we gonna nail it down, maybe it's 12, 15 states that we really kind of talking about for real, for real. Maybe more, because it's like the everywhere, but you got enough black millionaires where if you just say, okay, 1%, it may, even if you just said 0.5% was getting kicked back, like we could really sit down and break this shit down where it would 100% make sense of how you can get a whole economy within the economy up going. But it would be if people want to really rock and roll with it, where we can damn near govern ourselves. We can govern ourselves, get shit going, employ ourselves. You know, you purposely, like other communities, people are purposely sending their kids to school to be doctors or be lawyers or be accountants. Because they like, hey, you going to school to be an accountant? Because once you graduate, you're going to be an accountant for my our family $1 million business. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what I mean? Or you going to be a lawyer? Because when you graduate, you're going to be the lawyer for our family $1 million business. They're purposely putting people in position. So you supported them to go through college. That was you helping them. And now when they getting out, they basically returning the love, but you facilitating something. Not that you just trying to keep a motherfucker down to work up under you. That's it. That's the thing. We do shit. We try to keep a motherfucker down mentally, fuck with them and all that shit to keep them down to work for you for some change and not see the bigger picture. People don't know all this, going back to what we're saying, the manipulation and the games and people shit play. They don't even see that it's 10 times bigger than the actual game that they playing. Yeah. That by actually trying to hurt another person, you really hurting yourself. Because if you're not inspiring this next person, especially if they mean you some good, to be the best motherfucker that they can be, how the fuck can they help you if they're not the best person they can be?
Yeah, and then the onlookers walk up to the situation from the outside looking in, like, why would I deal with you? Why would I come to you when you have that parasitic mentality? And what you were talking about as far as the electoral votes and things of that nature, you do utilize it like the government. It's just on a smaller scale. Everything that you see is basically another version of it. Just like a business, you have a CEO, you have a board of directors, and you have a PR team, you have, you know, a street team, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. We take those formulas and apply it to what we need, and from the top to the bottom, and from the bottom to the top. Again, like you said, we create that village mentality, so where we can build communities. And people see it, because when you a lot of people don't understand that everything is subconscious. What you see on social media is different from what you see in real life. But if you see what you see on social media in real life, like people building communities, you know what I'm saying? And the stores that you go to, you're supporting your community. And that person, you know, that's been building that was the cash register, now built another grocery store of their own. You know what I'm saying? You saw the growth. When you see positive growth, you subconsciously like, yeah, I'm about to do that too. I got to be that accountant. I went to college. I did an accountant for my family business for this many years. They gonna bring somebody through. They gonna hire somebody else, and then I'm gonna go make my own accounting firm. You know what I'm saying? And do the same thing and reset.
Keep the cycle. Exactly. So you see it. You know what I mean? Like, it don't. But the thing is that the problem be that when bad situations happen, and I hear so many intelligent, because I'm not speaking in the best grammar while we saying this, but we breaking shit down so simple that people can get it. It's like you get some people that's so too fucking smart where they be saying a whole bunch of shit, but it's like it don't connect with the people, or you still leave out of it like, damn, that shit sounded super fucking smart, but you still don't. So how do we get this going though? They never add the actual umph of the conversation. Like, this is we're talking about actual creating an economy. Like, seriously, of how you can do it, where the funding will come from, you know, where the funding will come from, creating jobs. Like you said, if you buy in the land, because of course you want land and you're farming, of course, then like you said, then that just, this is simply saying it, which if a person sat down and we sat down 2-3 hours a week for the next 2-3 years, you know how much we could really break this down with just starting from the land and then farming on that land. And that's opening up a grocery store, which is your grocery store, because you got to have the fruits, the vegetables, you know, you got to have the fruits, the vegetables. Then that's employing people. Then, like I said, whatever other jobs that surround it around that, the construction, then eventually so much money circulate, you got to open up a bank, which that's going to hire more people. Like, it's so many, it will be a domino effect of where another business will constantly have to keep being created to support the other business, which will employ more people. That, you know what I'm saying? It will keep it building going.
Community, man. Yeah, building that community. That's important. You know what I mean? And that builds wealth. And that builds, the building a community builds wealth, economic structure. It creates, it eliminates a lot of things that go on with our community today. You know, and there's a lot of people out there that are doing it. It's just so divided, you know, and people have their own vision and people have their own plan, and they believe that they see it their way and that's the only way. But like you said earlier in this podcast, you may not agree with everybody, but eventually, if you on that same line, if you on code like you're supposed to be, eventually you're going to have to work with them anyway.
Exactly.
It's people that give knowledge on history. It's people that give knowledge on health. It's people that know how to build. It's people that know how to farm. It's people that know how to financials. You know what I'm saying? People that know the law. So it's like you go on Instagram right now. It's somebody that know how to do something. Just like in your community, it's the same thing. It's just that we don't know because we're too busy, you know, talking about what we want and not really doing anything.
It's just all talk. It's just talk. It's majority. I can't say, you know, being realistic, but majority of it is just all talk. Like, I don't be, me personally, when I skim around and listen, I never hear a foolproof plan. The foolproof plan I hear is always, hey, y'all, I'm going to say a whole bunch of smart shit to you for an hour, 2-3 hours. And then eventually I'm going to say, hey, donate to my Cash App. So I can build this Wakanda, and then the shit never fucking happens. For real. That's what I just hear. Like I said, because there's some super intelligent people. But I'm like, the end result be the collection plate get past the objective. And then, but it's like, it's not really a point, because one person can't do everything by themselves. I'm like, you should be galvanized, taking, and that's not, this is not directed at anyone individually, but I'm like, okay, why are you preaching and saying all this? Read through your comments. You can kind of tell the difference between some smart people and dumb people, because a lot of dumb motherfuckers can't even complete full sentences when they leaving comments on YouTube. So you automatically, I ain't gonna say exclude them, they could be good for some other shit, you know, but you can kind of start weeding through different things and maybe get some people in position to start the email conversation, talking to people, see what they good for, or just make them weed themselves out, send in a resume of the things that you good at, like really start building and putting stuff together, you know. And I understand funding has to come from somewhere, and it's not just to put it off on the NBA players and this and that. But like I said, but I still will say, if we're going to hold people accountable, and, you know, motherfuckers just can't easily just go buy them a fucking pair of, you know, Louis Vuitton shoes for $5,000-$10,000. If you can eat, and it's not the pocket watch, but if you can easily do that, you can say, fuck me buying this $10,000 or $20,000 pair of shoes this month. Let me kick this back to this. And you got multiple, you know, doing that, like, eventually, but you got to have people you can trust.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that didn't actually put forth the effort to supply, and then the demand don't come back. Or the people that you speak of talking about the collection plate get get those football, those athletes or those people in power that have the capital, those investors, they get them for their money. And then a person with ethics and morals come along, they not messing with them because they didn't been burnt already. You know what I'm saying? So it's important that you have a track record. You know what I mean? That's another thing. You got to build, you got to, like we said earlier, it's not going to happen overnight. You can't have that microwave mentality. You got to build. It's going to be a lot of times you fall. But as long as you get back up and keep going, somebody going to see it. Somebody going to notice your grind and what you stand for. And they're going to want to invest because it's going to come. It's going to sell itself. You know exactly. What I mean?
There's a level, a lot of devils in disguise. You know, it's a lot of devils in disguise within, from within and without, you know. And I understand that everybody, because once you get burnt once, like you were just saying, once you get burnt once, they fuck up your trust from people, you know. But I'm like, like you said, if you taking the structure of certain things and just apply it in a smaller form. It's the same thing like with banks. When before they gonna even take out the biasness and the races or whatever, I'm just saying that the structure of, if you want to come get a business loan, you have to have a full-fledged business fucking plan. And that ain't one page with your name signed at the dotted line like, hey dog, I just want to do this, can we do it, I need $100 million. No, it needs to be broken down to like where they can plan and see where the funds is, how the funds going to go in, and how it's going to flip and come back around. Because at the end of the day, it is a business. It's a business building the economy. It's still a business, you know. So it's like, if you're going to confront or try to get people that got this money to foolproof plan it and be like, hey, and I'm willing to at least once or twice a week, or this will breach the contract between us, where we're going to have communication so I keep you updated on what's going on, and at least once a month or once bi-weekly you come out to see how these funds are being used. Because, you know, I'm not going to say building schools is a bad thing, but I'm just saying, yeah, because the education and stuff. But it's like me, when I first went off to college, one of the things my older sister got tons of degrees in the educational field. And she told me from then, at the very beginning, she was like, Doc, what you really want to do as far as assisting these kids, she was like, you're not going to be able to do inside of the classroom. It is way too many politics and education. That's not even going to give you enough time when you only got kids in the class for 45 minutes or whatever the case may be to try to do that. Like, it's other fields that you will probably have to go through. She like, education is ran by the money. And it's just doing just enough. But hopefully throughout that process, you click on the mind of a student that's being funneled through this system to make them want to be more and do a little bit more work outside of school to get them in position to win and get themselves in position to win. Because just them little couple hours while you there is so much going on, because these teachers just got to basically a quota, for lack of better terms, of things that they got to do just to turn in to their superiors and people higher than them to say, yes, we completed these criterias and these subject matters on Monday, Wednesday, because they got a blueprint that's being sent down to them. So it's so corporatized throughout. And we see, it's 2020 and we still learning the same shit from back in the day. How do you expect for people to get smarter if you're still teaching them the same shit the same way that's been being taught to them for the past hundreds of years? It's a lot of shit.
Man, we taught to be sheeple.
Yeah, period. Period. You know, so, but man, you know, this type of stuff could go on forever, but man, this type of conversation, we going to definitely pick. It's going to apply to something else at some point in time. But before we get up out of here, I do want to tell the people, regardless, to first and foremost, let me say, I appreciate everybody that's tuning in. I appreciate homie from Instagram. I can't think of your name. I believe it's Alex. They ended up leaving a message the other day that was saying, bro, when are y'all going to get back to doing the podcast? Because I sit back and listen to it with my son as I drive him to school. I appreciate that motivation of even saying that, you know. So double salute to you, you know, because my thing is, if regardless if it reached one person or 100 million people, It's about how people absorbing the information and not just, you know, absorbing the information. Regardless of whatever topic that we talking about, it's always going to be some medicine in the candy, you know. So I greatly appreciate you and people like you that support, you know, and regardless if you listening on Apple, Castbox, Spotify, or wherever you at, if it's a place on there for you to leave a review or click like or whatever the case may be, we greatly appreciate it, man. Is there anything that you want to say before we get up out of here?
Just thank you. You know, more to come, and we appreciate y'all listening, and keep listening. That's it.
Word, word. Well, we'll catch up with y'all on the next episode. Peace.